The first Mishnah in Kiddushin describes the three methods for being Mekadesh, for betrothing a woman. As the Rambam describes in the beginning of Hilchos Ishos, Kiddushin, a contractual betrothal, it's not really engagement in the modern context. Engagement is just an agreement, but actually locking in the marriage into a contractual bilateral obligation is introduced in Parshas Ki Teitzeh. Before the Torah delivered Parshas Ki Teitzeh, men and women would just meet in what more or less would resemble modern living together or modern civilian marriage, or agree to live together, and they could just as easily agree to part and agree to separate. And this is not respectful to the institution of marriage. This is exploitative of at least one of the parties without any responsibilities and commitment. And the Torah wants to encase and frame marriage within commitment. So it establishes the mitzvah of Kiddushin, and more or less, the mitzvah and the process of Kiddushin resembles a kinyan. And the first few pages of the first page of Maseches Kiddushin is very explicit about that, by bridging between the method in which Avram acquired the land to bury Sarah and the method of Kiddushin. We derive that Kiddushin is accomplished or enabled through Kesef from this Gzera Shava, or textual association of words between the word Kiyikach in Parshas Ki Teitzeh and the word Kicha, or Sadakach Mimeni, the similar verb, in Parshas Chayisara, very famous Gezer HaShava, known as Kicha Mistei Ephron. And generally, there are numerous parallels between the act of Kiddushin and the act of Kinyan. That being said, the Torah does not use an overt word of Ki Yikne Ish Isha, but Ki Yikach Ish Isha. And that suggests that although there are many layers of this pre-Nisuin contract that resemble Kinyan, and the irony is, for many, that sounds misogynist and treating women like chattel and backwards and male chauvinistic. It's not. It's meant to lend a contractual obligation that can only be terminated through an equivalent contractual, interruption of a get. And it serves to lend stability to a marriage rather than just turning the marriage into some willy-nilly, casual twinning of fate, which can just be easily discontinued by caprice. So it sounds, in the modern context, if you don't understand the inner dynamics of Kiddushin, it would sound misogynist, but it isn't. The Torah does write the word Kiyikach, and this raises a very fascinating question. The first Mishnah in Maseches Kiddushin makes no mention of any verbal declaration. Kesef, a contract, or marital intimacy. However, the Gemara on Daf Hayamid Beis cites a brisa, and this parallel brisa to the Mishnah talks about delivering kesef, kesef b'kesef, and it mentions that the man has to articulate the very famous formula, haret mekudeshes li. What role does the amira, the declaration of the Baal, play within the Kiddushin process? The Torah writes a verb, kiyikach, in Parshas Ki Teitzeh, which is broad enough and flexible enough to incorporate not just the delivery of money or a contract, but also the verbal statement. What role does the verbal statement play? Or to say in more classical, analytical language, or lamdasha language, what is the role of Amira in Kiddushin? The simple statement would suggest that Amira just discloses intent. That's called in halacha giloy das. If there were a way to intuit or to divine intent without verbal declaration or without verbal articulation, the amira would be rendered useless or irrelevant. But the only way to know what the man and presumably the woman are thinking is to have the man recite a formula and the woman to agree and to consent. If she objects and the marriage fails, it's disqualified. So he speaks, she nods, or at least acquiesces, without even nodding, but just by accepting his statement. And now we know that they're both on board, they're both in, so to speak, we're all in. And the requisite das and kavana, which is so necessary as the mental underpinnings of a kiddushin, has been expressed. This would be the simple way to view the need for the Baal to say something. And in fact, there are several gemaros which would reaffirm that, two in particular. One is the Gemara Daf Nun Amud Beis in Kiddushin, which Rav Huna has a very ambiguous statement, which at least Rashi interprets to mean that if a man and a woman already committed to each other. And in classic context, commitment was achieved through a shidduch, and a shidduch were contractual obligations which were exchanged between the parents. In those days, marriages were at least in part familial contracts to exchange support and money, and that process had already been executed, and they're waiting for the actual halachic ma'aseh kiddushin. And during the interim, the husband were to send gifts to the wife. We are choshesh. We have to worry that maybe those gifts were intended to be actual kiddushin money. And if witnesses witnessed the transfer of those gifts, then perhaps kiddushin has emerged. And we have to treat the man and woman as if they're already mekudeshes. Namely, if the man wants to separate, he requires a get. Rapuna's language in kiddushin, dafnun, is choshashim lesivlonos. This Rashi, that we have to assume that gifts delivered from husband to intended wife may serve as actual halacha kiddushin, even though there's been no declaration. Well, evidently, the entire function of declaration is to disclose and to display intent. If a man has already been mishtadech to a woman, they've already undergone shiduchim, then we can assume that his intent is to marry her with these monies, or at least worry about that possibility. And hence, kiddushin is legitimate, even without a formal amira, as long as we can ascertain intent to perform kiddushin. So this Rashi on Daf Nun is cited typically as an example of, or to prove that the entire purpose of amira is just to display intent, and we can dispense with amira, namely an amira-less kiddushin, as long as we can independently ascertain and verify intent. Another Gemara, which is cited to prove that amira is only necessary to prove intent, is a Gemara on Daf Vav Amud Aleph in kiddushin, which the Gemara quotes the famous case of Asukin Ba'osa Inyan. If the man and the woman, the intended parties, are involved in some aspect of the Kiddushin, planning the wedding, planning their life, something related to Kiddushin, and in the backdrop of all this involvement in planning their marriage, he gives her money, that is a legitimate Kiddushin, even in the absence of an explicit Amira. Again, the entire function of Amira is to display intent of man and woman. Once the intent can be ascertained independent of an amira, namely the context provides it, the context in Kiddushin Daf Nun is that they are already mishudachim. Even if we don't accept Rabbi Huna and Daf Nun, on Daf Vav you have an even more compelling contextual framework because they're actively involved in the preparations for the wedding. In that instance, we can assume intent and we don't require an amira. So these are just some of the Gemaras which are typically provided to prove that Amira may have no formal role, and that Kiddushin is constituted or comprised solely of delivering money or a contract or bia, and the Amira is merely to display intent. By contrast, there are two or three other statements which may prove that being that marrying a woman is more than just acquiring property, again, not in a male chauvinist fashion, but more than just creating a contract to obligate the husband, but there's obviously an interpersonal element that may not be able to be affected by monetary transactions. It may have to be affected in the manner that we affect non-monetary status changes, through verbal declaration. A person, for example, who wants to dedicate an object to the Beis HaMikdash, being that he's not primarily involved in a monetary transfer, he's involved in creating a status of hektish. That status is created by verbal articulation. A neder is created by verbal articulation, a shavua. So a person who's marrying a woman is involved as well, not only in some monetary contractual process, but in designating a new status upon the woman as his wife and prohibiting her to other people. So perhaps the amira is an essential part of the ma'aseh kiddushin. Ma'aseh kiddushin may be comprised of numerous elements. One classically contractual monetary element, perhaps kesef and shtar, and one verbal designation and verbal declaration. And it's not enough just to know what the husband's intent is. We have to, kiddushin has to contain, has to include an active, explicit, verbal declaration. So for example, there's a very famous Rashi in his comments to the Rif. Now this isn't really written by Rashi. The Rif was a sefer written by Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi. It's probably the first Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't write topics, he writes summaries of the Gemaras, but the summaries are intended to facilitate halachic extraction from the Gemara. Rather than reading through the entire sugya, he'll just quote the highlights, the halachic conclusions. So when the Rif wrote a sefer, someone wrote a sefer explaining what he meant and being that it was very, very brief language, so they called it Rashi on the Rif. It's not really Rashi, but when the Rif talks about writing a contract of Kiddushin and delivering it to the woman, he says that when you hand the contract to the woman, you have to actually recite and repeat the formula of Kiddushin. Now, it's one thing to require the Amira with a Kiddushin Kesef, because we may not know why the husband is delivering the money. Maybe it's a gift, maybe it's a payoff. But when the husband delivers a contract of Kiddushin, the contract actually says, Hareyat Mekudeshes. Why would he be required to actually repeat those words? The only way to make sense of this position is to assume that every Kiddushin requires both a contractual component, whether it be Kesef or Shtar, as well as a verbal declaration to, to enable the status change and to install the status change. And therefore, even when his intent is clear, because the contract clarifies and displays his intent, you still require that verbal declaration. Another example, this is a very famous machlokas we've shown him, as to whether you can use personal language to marry a woman, or only language that in some pasuk in Tanakh is associated with marriage. It's based on a Gemara in Daf Vav, and most of the cases the Gemara cites seem to have correlatives in the Torah, moments in the Torah where those languages are employed to describe Kiddushin. At least that's the way Rashi's Rebbe's interpreted it. That's the way the Ritva interpreted it. Whereas the Mordechai suggests that any language person can, for example, tell a woman, I love you and I want you to be my wife, and even in another language perhaps. And if the entire purpose of Amir is to display intent, then the Mordechai's position is very compelling, is very attractive. Why should there be a limitation to biblical language if this isn't a formula? This is just displaying what the husband intends. Whereas if Rashi's Rebbe's and others demand language of the Torah, that could indicate that the Amira in Kiddushin is not merely functioning to display the intent of the two parties, but is actually an independent trigger to create the status change that a contractual element such as Kesef or Shtar isn't capable of. So these are some of the issues discussed in trying to prove whether the Amira is merely a subsidiary, ancillary service to display intent, or when the Torah writes in Parshas Ki Tetzeh, Ki Yikach, it intends to describe a multivariable process of Kiddushin, Kicha, which includes Kesef, but also includes verbal declaration. This probably comes to a head most famously in a Gemara Kiddushin Daf Hei Amud Beis, where the Gemara wants to know what happens if the man delivers the Kesef to a woman, but the woman articulates the Amira Zakidushin. One way to explain the Gemara Safek is precisely our question. If the full purpose of Amira, the sole purpose of Amira, is merely to demonstrate intent, it would make little difference whether the husband articulates intent and the woman acquiesces quietly by not objecting, or the woman initiates that declaration and the husband acquiesces without his objection. At least one way to read the Gemara. However, if the Amira is part of the Maisa Kiddushin, part of the technical process of marrying a woman, is not just displaying intent, there are two formal actions which have to be taken. One is to deliver money or a contract. One is to actually articulate the act of the intent. Well, the entire process has to be performed by the husband. And the woman's Amira, even though the husband's silent and he acquiesces, and we know what he wants, he hasn't performed a complete Maisa Kiddushin, as suggested by this vague or general word of Kiikach. And the case of Nasan Hu Ve'Amrahi, where the man delivers the money and the woman articulates the Kiddushin, would be puzzled. So the Gemara is a Suffolk, and it could very well be that the Gemara Suffolk was precisely the topic of this year. Is Amira part of the Maisa Kiddushin, or it's merely a subsidiary role in proving intent, in which case, under certain circumstances, the woman's articulation and the man's acquiescence would be sufficient? Of course, we paskin that the man has to speak, in part because we are concerned that perhaps the Amira is part of the Maisa Kiddushin, in part because even if it's just ancillary, the woman's role in the Kiddushin may preclude her from speaking the Maisa Kiddushin.